Hey guys, the girl tea.
With the queen, welcome back to another episode of Tea Breaks and Biscuits. And on today's episode, we're going to talk about something that has really triggered us recently. I'm sure you've seen the videos. It's gone viral from the Dear Future Wifey podcast. And this couple, Mr. and Mrs. Steele, they come on to talk about marriage. But as T and I will discuss very shortly, if that is marriage, you can miss us with that, please. I'd rather be happily single than whatever that is. Let's get into it.
Yeah. That video, Queen has sent it to me and was like, watch it. It triggered me so much. Like I know marriage is not easy at all, and I know you're going to have its struggles. Mm-hmm. But no. In the beginning, she's like, he legit told her, you're not my preference, but it's okay. Like, but you have my purpose. It's okay for you to be my wife. And in my head, I'm like, if I wasn't even the first option from the beginning, what makes me think I'm gonna be the first option in our marriage?
Like, yeah. And I think throughout the interview, they brought out a lot of talking points, or a lot of points that I think we often miss, especially as young girls, as young people dating to marry. And things like that. And I feel like these are very key points that we cannot afford to miss. I think at some point she mentioned that she couldn't afford to leave him because he was a provider.
Yeah.
This is why, yes, a man should be a provider. I completely agree 100% with that. But you should also have a source of income.
Something of your own.
Exactly. Like something that you can depend on. Because when she said that, I was like, oh, like everything else that she said, like this is the context, like it makes sense basically. Because she mentioned that she had they were expecting their first child by the time they were getting married. So I guess like she was thrown out of her parents' house. She was expecting her first child. They just got married. You really think she's gonna leave if he's providing? Hell no. So I think that was the first like real red flag for me. Actually, there are lots of red flags, but that was like, that was something that stuck out. I'm like, oh, this is why. Like, this is why she stayed, and this is why she put up with it for so long. Some people might find themselves in this situation, like just staying with someone because of the convenience, not because of compatibility, not because of anything else. Just convenience and comfortability and the fear of starting again and the fear of, oh, what will people say? And you know, the question that I had watching this was, where were her parents? I know they kicked her out at the beginning, but like, where were people to guide her in this decision kind of thing? Because like, when you're marrying someone,
I don't think she had anyone,
right?
Yeah,
because when you're marrying someone, this is like a coming together of families. It's not just like two individuals like saying hee hee, let's get married. No, it's like it's deeper than that, and you should have a community. You should have people to surround you to be like, hey, like no matter what, like we've got your back. Like you don't have to just go ahead and like make this decision if that's not what you want, kind of thing. So like, where was that wisdom? You know, I think the Bible says like, when there is no counsel, the people fall, but in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. Where were those people then to kind of like guide her?
What stood out for me, I thought was so crazy, was the red flag before she even got into marriage. She just let it slide. Mm-hmm. Like she even says, like, I know he wasn't loyal beforehand and he was entertaining other girls, but I knew the moment he marries me, I have the name title. Mm. She thought automatically he would stop that and automatically should be first, when he should be putting you first in a relationship beforehand, before there's even a title. Like he should be showing he's committed to you and wanting to be loyal to you. But she thought having the surname, being married to him, being his wife would be the main thing. And I think that for me, like, that broke my heart. Like, that made me so sad, because sometimes as females, we don't think we're enough, or we don't even know our self-worth, that we, whatever the first option is, we just stay with it. And we were like, oh, you know what? I can fix him, or I can make him be better. But if he's not even wanting to do that for himself, who are we? Who are we to do that for him? Like, who are you, you know? And I thought that was so sad. Like, that for me really broke my heart.
I like what you're saying, because I feel like sometimes us girls, we like to go into fix it Felix mode. Like, we like to be the fixers, you know? I can change him, blah, blah, blah. No, I think something that's really important is you've got to be honest with yourself as a lady and say, if this man never changed, would I still be okay with spending the rest of my life with him? So we can't go in and thinking, oh yeah, he's going to change. What if he doesn't? If he doesn't, am I still going to be okay with marrying him? So I just wanted to add that on, because we like to see like potential, we like to see in the future, but like, what if that never happens? Like, are you okay with where it's currently at right now?
And that's a tough question, going, am I going to be happy with who he is? Because we're people who, like you said, as women, we like to see the best in people all the time. We're good at motivating people. We're good at seeing like a lot of second chances, or even with friends, like forgiveness and stuff, and go, you know what? They will change, or they will do better. But I think that's one part I was like, wow. And then the second part, I thought it was crazy, was like, she would legit be ironing his clothes, knowing that he would go see somewhere else. Like, for me, I was like, wow, like, you're different, because like, I know my pride and I know who I am. I would never, like, you know, especially like already knowing I'm the side chick. It's like, it'd be different if you do it behind my back, but I'm already knowing that I'm the side chick. Oh, my pride. I'll be out, because I'm like, who, me? I was never the second person in my dad's eyes. I was always be number one. So if you can't be like that for me, you're out. Like,
goodbye. No, that was that makes me question, like, where do we draw the line between, you know, exemplifying the humility, the being humble, the doing all the right things in the name of quote unquote Christianity, and being crazy, being delusional?
I don't know.
This is a genuine question, because I feel like a lot of people kind of hide behind this
being forgiving,
what I call it, like,
great
religious psychosis, delusion. I'm not even joking. She was saying, yeah, you know, when he would be like, I don't like you, or I don't love you, blah blah blah, I would say, he will love me, like,
God will save my marriage. Like, we'll have a happy marriage. To me, I was like, yeah, I do agree with you. It's kind of like, yes, don't get me wrong, obviously we can ask God what we want and ask for him for our desires, and he will help us. But sometimes I'm like, darling, it was okay. Like, you can leave, you know, like, this is not healthy. Like, God doesn't want to see you suffer. Like, that's exactly. Not okay. Like, how far do you take it? Like, you know what I mean?
So and we kind of normalize this struggle of like the ride or die kind of woman. No, no. I don't want to ride or die to your stupidity. Are you crazy?
Yeah, God. because she made a comment, go, because he asked, oh, what advice would you give to the females? And like, she was like, there's a reason why you're single.
I know.
You're not willing to ride or die for your husband and love them through their worst, and then you'll get to love them through their best. And I was like, oh, like, for me, it's like, I don't, like, yes, I can love him through his worst, but there's some things, if he's like being disobedient in my marriage or entertaining other ladies, like, you've crossed the boundary. When we got and it's a pattern. When we got married, we made a commitment to each other.
That was crazy. And then the fact that he talked about, like, it was almost like a generational thing. You know that story that he told where he was at? I can't remember where he said he was at. It's like, oh yeah, is your grandfather this person? Yeah, he was here too. Is your father this person? Yeah, he was here too. So you see, like, these generational, when I say curses, or these generational like patterns that just continue, and you've got to literally stand up and be like, no, it ends with me. Like, I'm not doing this anymore, kind of thing. Imagine your grandfather was the same, your father was the same, and for his father telling him, oh yeah, men are just wired this way. No, that is a lie from the pits of hell. Like, no, I refuse to believe that. And I feel like he kind of played into it more, because, you know, he kind of got the go ahead, the green light from his dad. And that also brings me to my next point, which,
before you go to the next point, I was gonna say, is it woke like, it woke me up though, like, put my eyes, realizing that it's so important that we make sure that we don't bring our generation curses, that we actually pray before God to get rid of those things, because obviously from both parties there's always going to be things that happen generational, that we make sure that we cast them away into our marriages, because it can so easy for them to be brought in and we don't even see there's anything wrong with them, and that's
just like to continue
be like, oh, too bad. Everyone did it.
Exactly. My dad did it. My grandfather did it. So who am I to kind of like change that pattern?
Yeah.
But yeah, so I was going to segue into this next point, which is I do not think wholeheartedly that you can be a good father without being a good husband.
Oh.
Because I know he made a mention of, yeah, like, oh, I was the best dad. I was the greatest dad, but you're a horrible husband. And I don't think you can really separate the two. Because your children see the way you treat their mother. Like you can't just like turn that switch off and be like, no, just like focus on me being a great dad and like forget how I treat your mother or forget how I treat my wife. Like, no, they're gonna see it as a whole kind of image. And to me, this is like really important because when God gives like the whole analogy about himself being the husband kind of thing, like he's a husband, he's the father, he's the friend, he's like everything. So you can't really like separate those two images and be like, no, I'm just going to focus on being a great dad and then neglect my role as being a husband. You know what I mean?
You know, talking about that, it reminds me of the verse in Ephesians 5 verse 25. And when it says, husbands, love your wife just as Christ loved the church and gave himself.
Mm-hmm.
To her.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's a reason why God says this, because he says he knows it can be a struggle to love your wife, and he knows how it's easily tempted that they can be, that he says, husband, love your wife as Christ loved the church. The same way as, like, God knows, as wives, you know, earlier on the verse it says, verse 22 says, wives, submit yourself to your husband as you do to the Lord. Like, he knows for us being big characters and everything like that, or we like to be strong-headed or like to be head of the family, or we like to be the one who puts people in the right direction. We like to lead, that we actually submitting to someone is not as easy because we have to humble ourselves towards that person. So it was just really interesting, like, because that verse just came up to me how, you know, God knows what we struggle with, both sides of women and men, and how we need to both surrender ourselves to him completely to be able to have a marriage that glorifies him.
Yeah. And I think there is a fine line between submitting and accepting abuse. But that is a conversation for another day. Oh my goodness, there's just so much to unpack. I don't even think we can like get through it in one little tea break. This is like a lunch break episode.
I was gonna say the part where she was like having no self-worth, like she was like, I went into my marriage, had no self-worth in the beginning, so I didn't really know who I was in general, like I didn't know what I wanted. And then the husband like made a joke saying like, yeah, she had no self-worth, like he
she had
knew
no value
that.
And he was
he was like, he kind of knew like, lol, like this girl doesn't know who she is, so I can do anything that I want, like
exactly.
And that's when I could tell the respect thing wasn't there, because he was like, well, she doesn't even know who she is, I can do
exactly
anything.
She doesn't even respect herself, so why should I respect her? And that's the thing, we've got to respect ourselves as ladies, as people in general, to be honest, because I believe people only treat you the way you allow them to treat you, or the way you show them how to treat you. If she had stood up and been like, I'm not accepting this rubbish, and packed her bags and left for good, that would have shown him. But because, you know, she was kind of playing into it, like, no, as long as I'm first, those other people don't matter. No. No. It doesn't work like that. No. You shouldn't be in competition for your husband. That's not okay.
I know.
Like, that does not make sense.
That's what made me sad, because it was like, you started off feeling like it was a competition in the beginning. Throughout your marriage, you were going to feel like a competition. And like, it only changed because he surrendered himself to God. Like, you know what I mean? But you can't be wishing, going, if only you do this. Like, you would never be happy. I feel like, I think sometimes we don't realize as ladies, is like, am I going to be content what I have now? Continue with the relationship with the person? Or am I just going to keep wishing that this person is going to get better?
Exactly. And something else that struck me was, she said her connection to God was through him.
Yeah.
Like, that was really profound and really deep. You know, your connection to God cannot be tethered to somebody else. Like, no, you should have that own relationship with God by yourself. It cannot be in relation, in connection to anybody else, because at the end of the day, it's between you and God. Salvation is individual. Like, you don't gotta say, oh yeah, it's because you know, my husband didn't go to church, that's why me, I ended up not going to church. No, you're going to have to give account for your own actions at the end of the day. So yeah, that was really enlightening when she was like, yeah, my connection to God was through him. So when he went to church, I went to church. If he didn't go to church, I didn't go to church. And it's like, yeah.
I think it's a wake up call saying sometimes as well, like when, if you are going to enter into marriage and stuff, it's still being individual. Because I feel like, like it's, I know sometimes we take literally, you know, when two flesh become one, but it's, I think in certain aspects in marriage, you still have to become an individual of yourself when it comes to, yes, we can pray together. Yes, we can both seek God, but I need to still have a relationship with God, same as you, vice versa. Like you have to be seeking God in your own time, same as myself. Like, you know, we can't only be worshiping together. Like, you know what I mean? There's some individual time when it comes to that. Like the same way there should be some individual time like I do with my own thing. Like, so I don't lose my own individual person. Yeah, I think that's so important. Because I think that's where she lost herself too, because she was so used to them being those two for so long. And especially being young as well. She didn't know who she was. And then you now become so dependent on this person, and then she felt lost. I can't leave because he is in the relationship, like he's the provider, he's everything. So I guess it was that sort of like connection that she struggled with.
Nah, there was just a lot of things wrong in that video, and I 100% agree with you. It triggered me as well. I'm like, yikes. And she wonders why people are single. So this is all we have time for to talk about now, but definitely continue the conversation. Let us know what you think. Have you watched the video? What are your thoughts? Like, we can't be the only ones thinking this is crazy. And yeah, that's pretty much it. T, any final words, thoughts?
Nah, that one made me speechless. Like, I was just watching it and I'm messaging Queen of Gang like, what? Like, if this is marriage, get me out now, Lord.
Literally.
It's okay. Like, it's okay. I don't want that.
It's
like,
yeah, exactly. It's not by force.
Yeah, because she was just, the way she was just encouraging, going, don't know what a true marriage is unless you've gone through the struggle and you've loved them through the worst, and then now you have a happy marriage. Like, you shouldn't be having to go through all that. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I'm like, that portion is a no for me. Like, I'm not doing it. So I was like, wow.
He was literally the weapon fashioned against her. I gotta run off. I will catch you later. Enjoy the rest of your break. See ya.
See ya. Bye.
Bye.